Holy Ghost and fire on you. Every one of you. God smack you in Jesus' name. Uh-oh. Is it me? How's everybody? Y'all good? I am. Holy Ghost in fire, Holy Ghost in fire. Y'all got it under control back there? Holy, 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 Holy Ghost. Shata baka bara baba. Okay, let's stand up again while these musicians up and down, up and down, up and down. Yeah, it's exactly like the Catholic Church. I went there twice. I went there to the Catholic Church twice. Shokobo Baraba Saba. Is everybody all right? Yes. Holy Ghost. Now, since we are the sons of God, we're going to act like it. Is this all the stuff? That looks puny to me. Seems like we need to put some more stuff up here to pray for. So while we're making the declarations to the kingdom of God, let's put some stuff up there in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. I want you to declare with me, I love you, Jesus. Oh, would you please wake up? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, goodness of God. Thank you, mercy of God. Thank you, anointing of God. Thank you, blessings of God. I bless this land. I bless this land. I bless this land. In Jesus' name. Because I'm a believer. It's part of who I am. It's part of who I am. Come on, stay with me. To walk in the anointing. To walk in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And Jesus is King in my life. All right, thank y'all. Have a seat. And I'm not a long goodbye person. Bye. I just don't get into all the emotions. Some of y'all like it. And, you know, like some people call me on the phone. They tell me bye about 16 times. And I don't. I just tell you bye once. Shabakata. Holy Ghost. And that seems like a waste of time, Tony. So, I really am blessed to be part. Thank y'all for letting me and my team come and be part with y'all. There's a couple of things I want to see if I can. Boy, this is a prayer list. If I ever publish this prayer list, it took me 30 years to compile this thing, about 33. Boy, it's pure scripture. I pray it probably twice a week. It takes about 8 hours, 7 hours, something like that. Boy, and it's like thousands of Bible verses and things, and I did it on my computer. Got it all nice and neat now. And one of these days I might let y'all in on it. But it ain't today. All I know to say is, you pray that thing there, and you can raise the dead. That's all I know to say to you. It works. It works to seek the Holy Ghost. That's all I know to say. All right. Now, y'all, does anybody know what verse we're going to? Hebrews chapter what? 11. Yeah, chapter 11. What verse? 11. That's right. So turn to Hebrews 11:1, please. Now, right now, faith. I have been doing this for so many days in a row in all the continents. I'm just now coming back from all the continents that's got people on them. And I didn't go to that one. It don't. It's just got penguins, I think. It's too cold for me anyway. But boy, oh boy, it works in every continent, faith does. When I first started traveling, I was warned by these smart people to watch out for them old demons over there in Europe. The age-old spirits that, I guess, run the countries. I don't know, run the planet. Who knows what they do? But I don't believe them. I don't believe in them. So I don't have a natural fear for those things. I have a natural fear for God. So, you know, I don't even respect these men that all talk about all that stuff. I go out and get a Pepsi or something while they're talking, because I don't believe what they're saying.
That's right. Don't believe the devil.
I don't believe the devil's power. I believe God's power. So when people get up and they spend all this time talking about all these things that's going to control your life, like past curses and other demon spirits and these other religions and all these things, when people start talking all that nonsense, I get up and walk out and get a cookie or something, because I don't even want to hear that mess. It gets old. Because I heard that before I got born again, how powerful hell was. I don't want to hear that no more. Let me just go ahead and tell you how powerful God is.
Come on now.
See, do you understand how many people I just cross-threaded with? I just got a bunch of good people mad at me. They need something to be angry about. Because they've got the wrong anger going. But there is a right anger. Shaka-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Now, this is pretty nice. I get these testimonies. I'm going to share a couple of them with you. They come in after we go places. Boy, this is a really good one. I want to read it to you. This lady, she just, wow. God, you know, you see these people coming in these wheelchairs and on those walkers and with all them tubes and all this stuff. And there's no hope. If there was hope, they would be fixed. But the men don't have the wherewithal to fix them. And people like me get up and tell you how powerful God is, and that there's nothing can stop my God. And I don't believe in these age-old demon spirits. I believe in the Holy Ghost. And you can't talk me into believing them. I absolutely refuse. I am stubborn to believe that you're telling me the truth. I don't believe in the power of 14 generations of hell stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I am a liberated individual. I am a free man. So don't talk me into getting chains wrapped around me again. I don't want nothing to do with that. It's on purpose that I rebuke the devil and every mouth that would advocate how powerful hell is. The Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
And your demons. Okay. If you just wondered why all these nations I go in, people try to kill me, now you're starting to figure it out. Because I don't challenge they devil, I run they devils off. And it usually has the people in tow when they leave. All right, a little over a year ago, David was at the Freedom Center in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And he prayed for my husband. My husband was so weak, he couldn't stand. People had to help. David prayed for him three different times on three different days. And nothing changed. This is what I want you to get. You want things your way because you drive up to the Starbucks if they don't put that little design just right in the top of that little foamy stuff, you turn it back and get another one. Or if you go to the store and you want a hamburger, man, and you're watching your watch, and it's got to come your way in a certain amount of minutes, or man, you're up and at them. You're around there just telling them how wrong they are. And dude, you only participate you got is getting fat dimples on your hind end. That's the only participation you got. Ah, dude, we need a life over here. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now faith is. Do you understand? These demons, the aggression and the hate of humanity that they have, and they target us, and they single us out, and they make us feel isolated and singled out. That's why I admire 30-year veterans. I'm a 40-year veteran, and I admire people who have longevity and stick to the plan of God and don't alter it regardless of popular opinions and chains and shifts of humanity. Go with the Holy Ghost instead of what men say. And I like that personally. And I really like it. But my thing is, now faith is, every time you get up, it doesn't matter how many days in a row you are without what you wanted, that is not relevant. Relevance is the word of God. Relevance is what Jesus said. Your pain and suffering and what hell's doing has nothing to do with it. What it has to do with is submission and obedience and believing that Jesus is King.
That's good.
All right. 3 days after the 3 days of prayer, I wake up and saw on the wall a light. It's the same light Brother Jeff was talking about yesterday. It's Jesus. On my husband's side of the bed, he gets up in the morning after being sick for years, 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 years. Watch what he does in the morning. He couldn't even walk. They brought him in a wheelchair. In the morning, he went out and mowed the grass. His sister was there because they was all there to watch him die because he's going to die. She couldn't believe it. You ready to hear what he was healed from? This is all doctor documented. I love this. Don't you love this?
I love it.
Here we go. He was healed of cancer, diabetes, headaches, high blood pressure, COPD, and emphysema. Man, that is wonderful. Woo!
That's amazing.
But see, the only way you get into this kind of power realm is not because you're flippant or you're smart. It's because you know how to walk the thing out. You stay with the plan. You stay with the vision. And you stay with the Holy Ghost. And no matter what, you stick it out. You're like a hair in a biscuit at the Cracker Barrel. I'm telling you, Christians, you need to be a hair and a biscuit. I'm telling you, I have tried to pull them things out and they just break off. You just eat it anyway. The cancer doctor came in. He said, I don't understand this. Cancer just vanished. It's just not there anymore. That's pretty good. Oh man, I'm getting smashed already up here. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that with you. God bless you. So, did y'all ever make it to Hebrews chapter 11? Me too. Now faith is. Say it with me.
Now faith is.
Say it again. Mean it.
Now faith is.
Mean it. Say it again.
Now faith is.
Now faith is.
Now faith is.
Anybody in this room can do that. You don't have to be pedigree or have any kind of degree. Now faith is. We can do this. It don't matter how bouncy, how rough, how tough things get around us. They killed one of my pastors. He was a boy I got born again when he was a kid. And he and I worked together for 30 years. He was a man. Now he's 50 years old. He's walking to church. And the cartels came out and killed one of my main boys. I don't like that. It makes me sad. He was a good boy. He was one of my sons. All he was doing was going to tell people how awesome Jesus is. You know, I'm physically fit. You know, I drive one of the best four-wheel drives made by civilian vehicles. And, you know, inside my truck, I got almost all the tools. You can rebuild almost the whole truck. It doesn't look like we're who we say we are. It looks like we're working for somebody else. But listen to me. I was over in Europe and my son Jody calls me up and says, Dad, they got passed. I said, oh, man. He said, yeah, but they sent you a word. The bad guys did. I said, next time you come, they're going to kill you, Dad. I said, okay, let me think about it, son. So I called him back. I said, all right, I'm in Europe. I said, all right, I'm going to be back to the United States on this day, and I'll be in Mexico on this day. And the very next day, you're going with me, and we're going out there. We're going to see if they can kill me like they killed him. See, this is the difference in me and you. You use what you call, use wisdom, brother. What you're telling me is, if I was in your position, I'd be afraid and wouldn't do it. I prefer you just tell me the truth. But you see, Jesus came down in a war-torn country. There was war. The Romans occupied his land. There were rebel groups everywhere. When Jesus was walking around on the planet. And yes, they did ultimately kill him. They did. But he completed the work of the Father. In the face of all the danger. Hello? Now faith is. Now faith is. I told my son, let's go. We get in the truck, we go out there. I'm fully expecting a confrontation from the guys with all these machine guns and the AKs and all this stuff. I really believe they're going to be there. I really do. I'm really nervous. I feel fear. I feel it. It's trying to tell me I'm being foolish by going there. But clearly God wants me there. Because he's the one who said, go, David, to Mexico. So it doesn't matter what's out there. It matters that I'm there doing what God said.
That's right. That's right.
Hello? And people use on me all the time, but your value to the kingdom of God. My value in the kingdom of God is that I'm obedient to Jesus. Amen. That is my entire value right there.
Good.
And we go out there, man, I can taste adrenaline. I mean, I can taste blood. Boy, it's scary. Whew. But all of a sudden, I start noticing all the pastors. Every pastor that was under his charge, there's about 30 of them, or 25 or something, they all came and brought their elders with them. It's quite a group of people now. And we're sitting there. They know I'm coming. They know I will be there. Because I have faith. And I do not have fear. Fear is on me. That does not make it mine. Did you hear me?
It's just a condition.
All of you feel fear and you get condemned because fear's there. That's what it's supposed to do. But you don't submit to the emotion that fear drives. You submit to faith that God drives. You understanding the difference? I almost every day, because I live in a war country. Almost every day I feel fear. You hear these guns going off all the time. You feel fear. But you don't have to submit to fear. I was there. I felt cheap because I brought a whole wad of money to give to the family. And I felt cheap just giving money because the man gave his life for the gospel. But you got to go and you got to be part and you have to participate. I have to. I don't have a choice. And you feel like you do have a choice. Well, let me go ahead and say this right here. People with choices don't have faith. Oops. Oh my goodness. See, I don't have a choice. I am under the power of the Holy Ghost. I have to follow the Holy Ghost. And I went out there, we prayed, and we had Holy Ghost, and we had the fire of God come. I sat there for hours, ate a meal with them, calmed everybody down, told them Jesus is King. And now, every one of the churches that's under His power, we're under His power. Every one of them are in revival, and our buildings are not big enough. That's the difference in submitting to fear or submitting to faith. Because faith drives the kingdom of God. Fear drives the kingdom of the devil. And we, of course, are the children of God, so we don't submit to fear. We submit to faith. You hearing me? All right. I see y'all got quite serious on me, so I'll lighten it up a little.
That was good.
Let's do another miracle thing. You want to? I'm gonna. You want to? I was over there in Grafenau, Germany. It's right on the border of the Czech Republic. It's like where I was standing, you go a valley and then you're in the Czech Republic. That's how close it is. Beautiful. Woo, beauty is wow. Amazing. But this little grandma, this is about the little granny. She was like, you know, 700 or 800 million years old. She was like, she's old. Here she comes, you know. Little bitty thing. And she comes up to me. And she's speaking German, but it's the mountain German. I know some German, but I don't know her German. And so I'm talking, you know, and my interpreter says, she's hurt. Her back is hurt. And I don't, y'all notice I don't hang out very much and listen to the praise of the devil very much. When I'm in these prayer lines, people want to give me every blow of how bad hell has whipped them down. I'm not interested. I am interested in you, but I'm not interested in how rough hell's been to you. What you need to hear is how awesome Jesus is for you to change that. How wonderful God is for you, and how faith is going to take all that hogwash that's been fed to you, force-fed to you, and move it all out of you, and you're going to be redeemed again. That's what you need to hear. And grandma's starting to go. She took a breath. And I just put my hand over her mouth. Now, grandmas don't like that very much. And grandmas are frightening. I don't fear. I know. Yeah, me too. I don't fear much. But grandmas, you need to fear grandmas. They're just absolutely intolerant. They can't take, they'll just whip you down. And they're the sweetest, softest, easiest going little things, but you're not going to break them. How else did they get to be grandma? And so, you know, I just put my hand over her mouth and she gave me the look. The grandma look. Now, I'm married to one, so I understand the look. I crossed the line, buddy. And I just reached and got Granny by the neck and pulled her in close. Now, grandma's like that. And I put my hands on her, and she grabbed me, and she's old. I mean, I'm not going to grab her very hard because she'll break. There's no doubt she's real crispy. She'll break. Life has fried her pretty good. She's crispy fried, so I don't want to break her. So I'm holding her and I'm praying for her. Man, all of a sudden, she just flew out of my arms. Whoop! Oh, geez. I wouldn't even look at her. I just moved on. Because I know she's going to be in pieces on the ground. Well, that ain't what happened. But what happened was she had these rods and pins and screws in her back, and her back was fused. And while she was on that ground for like 4 or 5 hours, I don't know, I never saw the angel of the Holy Ghost, but somebody came and took all that stuff from her that we couldn't see, and we never saw the rods or pins in the air, but they were gone. Yeah, that was pretty nice. And the next day, Granny comes, and now she's moving around, you know, and I'm looking at her. She's going to break. But it turns out they went and had this doctor verified. 5 back operations, completely healed. Now, we'll pick it up right there. Okay? All right. I love this. Woo! All right, the following days after all this miracles took place, we took one of the scarves, one of these things. Now, this is the heel, Granny. She took a scarf and she wrapped it around her. What I didn't know about her was that she had been in a car wreck in 1967. And she had bones and joints and screws and bolts all over her. There was no way she's going to fall apart. I mean, she looked to me like she's going to fall apart if I just bumped into her. But she's bolted together with some really nice stuff. She had newer model joints than I do. Now watch. I took the scarf, which was prayed for during the ministry time, put it on her knees and on her backs and her shoulders and all this place where the other nuts and bolts were. Now, these knees had big problems from the car accident in 1967. And she woke up on the third day after the meetings completely healed and no more nuts and bolts, but all new joints. Grandma has got brand new joints. This is pretty phenomenal to me. In my world, where I live, in the faith world. Yeah, that's enough of that. We're going to do something else. Okay. Now, I want to talk about a subject that is pretty fond for me. Let's go to John, the book of John. Holy Ghost. Because I was just over in, I was on all the continents. And I want to share with you John chapter 6. I had my son look this up on his smart thing for me. To get the exact verse. John chapter 6 in verse 65. Here we go. It's on like Donkey Kong, Brother Jeff. Uh-huh. It's time. Because see, something happened in Africa that I want to share with you. It altered my universe. It changed my world again. Because I'm doing quite well every 2 or 3 months. Like just a few days ago, I was in Orange, Australia. Yeah, and the room was full. It was just packed out. And people were out in the foyer and all this stuff. You know, and I'm standing there. And every so often now, about every 2 months, I'll be standing in a meeting doing this, just talking about how awesome Jesus is and how poorly organized our enemy is and how awesome Jesus is. And this wind will hit me just poof. It starts buffeting me. It gets faster and faster, and then it'll just wash over me and I get cleansed. I get cleaned. Any type of politics or religious endeavors that have stuck to me and all these meetings I do and get around all these high-powered individuals or people. It just gets washed off of me, and I stay like a newborn child. See what bothers these guys sitting on the front row here is that they're nervous about what's fixed to come out of my mouth next. Because I'm not afraid of you. We need Jesus. There's enough with politics. Enough with religion. It's not working. It's you and your money. Go put your pry bar somewhere else. It don't work. We need Jesus. Well, we need money. So that's the difficult problem, isn't it? So I'm standing there in Orange the other day, a few weeks ago, and this thing hit me. It was an awesome meeting, and the Holy Ghost just took over, just smashed me and down the ground, and gold started falling, feathers, and it was over. I got knocked down, I don't know how many times. Every time I stand up, God just smashed me again. We need that every service. I am trying to figure out how to get that buffeting to be on a daily basis. Wherever I'm at, regardless of who I'm talking to, I want to be made a fool in the eyes of men to be proper with the presence of God. I'm not interested in your committees and your plans and schemes. I want the plans and schemes of the Holy Ghost. I've been at this a long time. My family's been doing this for generations. It's time that we submit to the mercy of the Holy Ghost. Having said that, I want to read this verse to you, because we're not going to get anything if God don't do it. There's nothing you can do. The awesomeness of the music, the goodness of the plans and schemes, trying to put it all together where we can get the idea in place for God to do that. Yay. But it still takes God's mercy falling into place. Now, look, verse 65. And he said, this is why I told you that no man, no one can come to me unless it is granted him, unless he is enabled to do so by the Father. You can say whatever you want to, but it's the Spirit of God that brought you. Regardless of how it looks, God's trying to bring you to himself. He wants to fill you with mercy. He loves you. All right. After this, many of his disciples drew back and returned. Look at that. Jesus had the same problem. You start talking about how awesome God is and God's running everything. People want men to run things. Why do you feel secure with a man handling it when God created it? He can take care of us. We can trust him. Forever. All right. Now, I was over there in Africa. In Malawi. Northern Malawi. We're real close to the Tanzanian border. And up in these mountains. We had gone, I don't know how many hours. 3,500 kilometers. How many miles is that, Joseph? 2,000 miles. More. A little more. 2,500 maybe. Miles. By car, our State Department, the only thing they say to us travelers when we're in these war countries is don't go by car and cross the borders. And we crossed six borders. And not trying to be stubborn, God told us to go. It's not about thinking we're smarter or we got feet on the ground, we have eyes on the ground or ears or whatever. That's not true. The government does know what's going on. It is understandable. It is how it is. But faith, Holy Ghost driven people who walk in the longevity of the plans of God don't listen to the plans of men. You have to rise above the futile expression of the flesh. You have to. And you have to walk in faith, trust in God every step, every turn of the wheel that he's going to take care of you. Now, we get all this way up there into Malawi. And then they tell me, all right, now you get some rest because tomorrow we're going four-wheel driving on up in the mountains. And then we're going to park the thing because the road ends. And then we're going to walk for a few hours. And I just look at them, bring it. This is what I do for a living. I might be an old boot. At least I'm still a boot. I'll get my end, son. You better latch on to yours. That's all I can say to you. And in the morning we get up and, you know, we go, we bounce. Same things I do in Mexico. You bounce, bounce, bounce for hours. And you get to the end of the road and everybody picks up their backpack and you thing of water and you know. And here we go. And I'm in the back. I'm always in the back because I like to be in the back. And because most attacks come as the party goes by. They attack you. And I want to be where the attack is. And that's what I like personally. And so, you know, and I'm back there shadabine. Do y'all know what shadabine means? I'm speaking in tongues with a loud voice. I'm allowing hell to know exactly where I'm at and exactly how I stand. I stand in the promises of the Holy Ghost. I stand in the blood covenant of Jesus. I have been granted. I have been invited by the Father.
Come on.
To walk in faith. And so I'll take him up on it. The reason I didn't call you and ask you for your opinion is because I don't trust your opinion much. And that's the reason I don't give mine much. I'll read the Bible and that's what we live with. Shaka tande bahate. And so, you know, I'm walking, you know, and you know, we're going through sugar cane. It's the same exact thing as mine where I live. The dirt's the same color. The trees are the same. The foliage, everything's the same. There's a few odd trees to me, but everything looks similar. It's the same. And we walk up to a village, and the mud huts are exactly the same. I don't know who did that all them years ago, but it's worldwide. And it was before y'all smartphones came into existence. It's called the Holy Ghost. And... So, you know, and I get up, we hiked and hiked and hiked and hiked. We made it. You know, and I get there and there's probably 300 or 400 people on top of this mountain. And, you know, I'm looking around and I'm observing and because I'm the guest, one of the guests. And I asked, you know, I asked one of the pastors that was there. People are walking in and these people have on different, because I'm a tribal person. I work with tribes. And you notice things when you're a tribal person. Like the different colors, the way the women are dressed, the different types of shawls they wear, the way their hairs are braided, the colors that are in their hair, all this stuff means they're from different villages or different tribes. And so I'm observing it and I'm asking, okay, these people here with these colors here, oh, they walked for a day to get here, Brother Dave. They've been waiting on you for 2 days. Okay. What about these that just walked up? Well, they've been coming for 2 days walking to get to a 2.5 or 3 hour meeting. So, you know, this you ought to gauge your hunger by that. And these women coming in with these babies on their backs hiking for a day or 2 days, you know. And, you know, I'm observing them. I'm appreciative. And so I'm inquisitive also. I like to ask lots of questions. And I ask them. I'm sitting there and I can see three mountains is what I can see. And I say, that next mountain from right here, how far is that? About 2 hours? Oh, it's about four, Brother David. Oh, okay. How many churches is on that next mountain? There are no other churches, Brother David.
Yeah, come on.
I said, from where I'm standing, everything I can see, as far as I can see, how many churches are there? And I can see, we're way up, several thousand feet up. And I can see these valleys and it's beautiful. Wow. And all this stuff, right? It's just Africa. It's vast. It's a big place. And I go, oh, as far as I can see,
How many churches are there? There aren't any. See, I don't get that. See, that bothers me. As much as there is, and there are areas that large that don't have the gospel. That ain't right. That right there is sin. And I view it as that. And I said, you're telling me, okay, this is what I want to know. From the beginning of time that all your elders have, how many missionaries have come here and preached the gospel to y'all? You're the second white man we've ever seen. Okay, let me get this straight. There are no churches. There's nobody out here preaching. And yet we have all these reasons to fight and split churches because the carpet's the wrong color. Serious? Something's wrong with our gospel, wouldn't you say? We got our eyes in the wrong spot. Clearly Jesus said, look up to the fields, for they are whiter to the harvest. What's lacking is the laborers.
Come on now. Come on, David.
Now, I'm a missionary, lifer. I have one thing on my mind, getting all of Mexico saved, and then we're going to turn our attention to all of Africa. Okay. Then we went to Indonesia. There's thousands of churches, but they're fighting each other because it's the wrong color ties and the wrong color suits.
Serious,
you going to go there and teach them how to dress, but you're not going to get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? I don't agree with you. The Father has invited us. He didn't ask you how you was dressed. Remember back to the day you were born again. I want everybody in this room to remember back to that day. And I want you to think about how dreadful of a human being you were. And He didn't care. He loved you anyway. We must drop the pretenses of man. See, this is why people don't like to run with me, because I see this stuff and I can't take it. We must change our environment with the power of the gospel.
Come on. Come on.
With the mercy of the Lord, Holy Ghost. He must come. We must let Him come. Okay. Now, and Jesus turned it to 12, verse 67. Y'all going to leave too? Go ahead and tell me He was coddling them and being relevant. I heard her use that word a while ago. Being relevant to them. Go ahead and tell me that's what He was doing. That's not what He was doing. He was telling them, hell's this way. If you want it, go get it. But I am the bread of life. Who you can eat daily and sustain eternal life. You will never die.
Where am I going to go?
And what Peter say? Where, God? Where, Jesus? They did leave. I don't have anywhere to go. This is who I am. The pressure that you see me under is because I don't have anywhere to go. I'm there. In our war in Mexico, all the other missionaries and ministries left. All of them. Government asked us all to leave. And I go to my men. They're sitting here. Right here. Here's my men. Some of them. And we did a 40-day fast to get the will of God for what we're to do. Because people are being killed by the hundreds, thousands. All around us. We bowed to the Holy Ghost. And God gave me this plan to stay. That's not what you want to hear. In a war zone, you don't want to hear the plan to stay. You want to hear the plan how to evacuate. But I gave them all the opportunity to leave. And to the man and woman, they stayed. Listen, faithfulness has no value. That's why I'm here. Because I believe in faithfulness and diligence and longevity and plans and schemes of God. I don't want to be hooked to nothing else. Are you listening to me? And from that day, have we or have we not been invisible, fellas? We're still alive, right? Look what this says. Will you go? Peter said, verse 68. Lord, where should we go? You have the words, the message of eternal life. See, this message of the gospel is eternal. And it is the life of God. And I have the life of God in me. This thing you see on me that some of you really are hungry to have is the life of God. I have diligently sought the Holy Ghost for 40 something years, and I will continue to do so. I am possessed with seeking God. There's nothing you have that I need. Everything heaven has, I need. He invited me to Australia, right here, sitting on the front row, Mr. Johnson. And he says to me, you've got to get down here, David. Revival has broke out in Adelaide. I said, I'm not coming. I can't, Brother Jeff. I want to, but I cannot. He didn't take that for an answer. He called me back a few days. David, we're having to change venues every so often. There's miracles every night. David, this is the real deal. Get down here. I cannot come. He didn't even hear me. Then he tells me, David, this blue fire is flying out of our hands and hitting people and getting healed. I said, what'd you say? You mean God opened up a warehouse somewhere and one of his great gifts came out and landed on a place and I don't have it? I said to him, oh. But we're such slaves to our agenda and how we think we've heard God and all of this stuff. But yet we need these new giftings and powers. We've got to have it. Soon as I heard about it, it wouldn't let me. It annoyed me day and night. And then Korea calls me up and says, Brother David, we've had a hiccup. You can't come. All right, no problem. Right then is when Todd calls me up. Brother Todd, it works for Brother Jeff. Brother Dave, we need you. Okay, I'm coming. But I said, I'm coming for one reason. I want the blue fire. All this other stuff, miracles, you know, feathers, gold, diamonds, all of that. I got that. I want this blue fire. I'm coming and I'm having it. You know what he said to me? You can have all you want. But he said, I have to let you know I'm not in charge of that. It's Father God. So I called my son-in-law up. I was on the road. I called my son-in-law up. Get us some tickets. We're going to Australia. What? Just get me some tickets. And you're going with me. Y'all, we landed down there. And by then, Brother Jeff he skipped out. He went somewhere else. And I'm there. The place is packed out. Now, this is not my fault. Everything I'm fixing to tell you, I apologize to you up front. We'll blame him.
That's right.
He somehow screwed a hole in heaven and heaven oozed out on top of us. And when God starts gully washing, son, the whole dam breaks.
Right.
I'm serious. I got in there, and the first night, I don't know what to expect. I'm thinking fire's going to be like electricity. I'm going to be scared and everything else. And they go, you're talking. I said, I ain't talking. I come here for fire. I don't want to talk. No, you're talking. So I got up and start talking. Jesus, I'm looking for the fire. I'm serious. I'm thinking it's going to come out of the light bulbs. You know, I'm thinking it's going to just appear. I'm scared. I want that. I'm having it. I pressed into heaven. My wife has not eaten nothing until I get back because we got to have the blue fire. I'm fasting every day till whatever mealtime in the evening they want to do. But I am having this fire. I am seeking the Holy Ghost. I'm listening to 100 chapters in the Bible every day. I'm going into heaven. I am attacking heaven. Shaka-ba-ta-ba-shata. I'm speaking in tongues 8-10 hours a day. People are trying to talk to me. I just look at them. Shaka-ba-ta-ba-shata-ba-ta-ba-ta-ba-ta-ba. They thought I was crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm sane. I am a son of God. And this is what they look like. They heal the sick and cast out devils. And they raise the dead and cleanse the leper. On purpose. And I'm sitting there in the prayer line. I'm looking for this fire. It never come. And I'm standing there, right? And I'm standing there and there's all these sick people. And I'm on this fire just to scare us. Scare us, God. Scare us. And then a raindrop hit me. I'm wet. And I asked the people, did y'all get any rain? People right in front of me. No. Oh, okay. So I kept praying for people. Rains. My shirt's getting wet. And I say to them, are y'all getting rained on? Nope. Just you. I am in the prayer line and it's raining on me like I'm in a shower. I didn't get the blue fire, but I got rain. That's close. I got the rain. And then this dude in the wheelchair, I pick him up. I apologize. I'm so spontaneous and aggressive. And, you know, and y'all call it wild and God calls it sane. And I went over there and picked him up out of that wheelchair. Honestly, had I known what was wrong with the fellow, I wouldn't have picked him up. It wasn't my fault. His back broke in three places. And I'm toting him around. After a while, he got heavy. I went and chunked him back in his chair and Velcroed him back down. They carry him home. Same light comes a few in the nighttime. And he gets up. 49 years, back broken, three places, healed. So, okay, that's good. Woo-hoo! Rain. I got rain. It's cold in Adelaide. You don't want to be wet outside. Okay, so the next night, I'm up in there. I'm expecting it to rain now. I am. I'm thinking, I told my son-in-law, I'm going to get wet again. And I'm up there talking. And next thing I know, the front row starts pushing the chairs back. And I'm thinking, they must think I smell like a goat. But I know I took a shower and put on some stuff. I brushed my tooth and everything. But I didn't know what was wrong with them knotheads. Why they was, you know, I'm thinking Australians, they don't get me. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I said something that's offensive. Who knows? So I just kept on preaching. And they just kept on scooting back. And I kept on not caring that they're scooting back. Maybe it's some thing they do. I don't know. So I get home and I'm brushing my tooth. And I look up in the mirror. My eyes had changed color to a brilliant blue.
Right.
I didn't get the blue eyes. I didn't get the fire. But I got the blue eyes and the rain. And since then, four occasions my eyes have turned blue. So it's that fire. It's trying to get out. I'll get saved one of these days and let the fire out. What's up with that? Okay, let's do another verse on purpose. Okay. Y'all ready? Hey. 69. And we have learned. Have you learned, church? To believe. See, I've got the Amplified version up here, and it says it in these words. We have learned to believe. We have learned to trust. And we come to know that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Stand up, please. Go to me, David. He got my son, my grandson, get it. Holy Ghost and fire. Now then, standing on that mountain, something came. In Malawi. I want the rain. Don't you want the rain?
Yeah.
I want the blue fire. Don't you?
Yeah.
Come on. Don't you want it?
Yeah.
I want it. How bad do you want it?
I want it.
What's it worth to you?
Oh, everything.
I'm standing up on that mountain and I'm looking at these people and the sufferings that's out there. This. And these people have AIDS and tuberculosis and all this stuff all over the place. And this one lady, while I'm talking, she started shaking. And that happens every service almost where I go and preach. And this, she's vibrating. She got a baby on her back. Then it went to 2. Then to 3. Then to 10. Then a dozen. Then 15. So I stopped. I put my Bible up. I never got a chance to touch them. I've never seen what I saw. This woman started spinning. Something unnatural. Something called supernatural. And then she fell on the ground. They grabbed the baby and I put some standards up so that she wouldn't, because there's these cliffs and these hyenas that eat her and all that. She's spinning unnaturally like a tire that lost its grip. She's throwing grass up. She's spinning so fast. The first thing that came to my mind was witchcraft. It had nothing to do with God. Because you cannot do what she was doing. Naturally thinking a human being. All of us were watching. And they're all looking at me, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. But I have learned because of longevity with God.
Yeah, come on.
See? Don't intervene. Your mind might think it's one thing, but it could be 180 degrees the other way. You can't go by your thoughts. You go by His thoughts. And I was so excited to find out what happened to her. This is one of the ladies that walked for 2 days. Two and a half hours later, she stopped spinning. And I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. But I waited and waited. Finally, she came back too. And she's drunk. She's sitting on the ground and kind of in a stupor. And I was trying to get him to talk to her. She couldn't talk for a long time. What she saw... We were standing out under the open sky. The heavens twisted. The actual sky twisted. And went into a funnel and ran inside of her. Heaven invaded them. And all these diseases that all these people have had was washed away. All of them were healed. I want you to agree with me that the invasion of the twisting skies would come in here. I don't know what the name of it is. It's bizarre to me to be around this type of influence. These people, these village people, saw the heavens. All of them saw it twist. And ran inside. It was a whirlwind of God. It was. And it healed all of them 100%. AIDS, tuberculosis, fevers. Everything was healed. Everything. So, we need God to touch us fresh. So I don't know what the plan is. Do you care? I'd like for you, because I want us to be in agreement. So what I'd like to do is, if you have a family member in this place, I'd like for you to gather up your family and let's get in piles all over the place. And we're going to agree together that the supernatural anointing of fresh oil of the Holy Ghost would touch this house, and the next 30 would be greater than the former 30.
Yeah, come on.
In the name of Jesus. I believe it's possible, but we have to get into agreement for it to function. Hello? So could we do that? Y'all got your tunes ready? Everybody? Y'all all tuned up? Get yourselves together. If your family's not here, look around and gather up 4 or 5 people. Don't get more than 5 or 6, though, please. Because this is not some Starbucks authority house here. This is the Holy Ghost. We are going to agree. Y'all gather up here. Team, gather up. If you don't have anybody, some of y'all gather these folks up that you see them stranded out there. We don't want to be alone. It's time for agreement. We're going to agree for the mercy and the goodness of God. Hello? Come on. Come on. All right. Everybody got their constituencies? Now what we're going to do is we're going to agree together for the purposes of God, for our individual selves, for our family groups, and for our body of believers that we're connected to. Hey. We want the supernatural move of God to touch us. We want God. We want God. Brother Jeff, where are you? Would you come up here and lead the prayer part? Is that all right? What? Y'all ready? All right, let's just touch each other. Holy fire, come. Fresh anointing, fresh oil.
Yeah.
Come, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Come, Holy Ghost. Power of agreement. Power of impartation.
Ratata.
Flow.
Ratata.
Flow.
Ratata.